Welcome to the weekly Front Stretch podcast brought to you by FrontStretch.com. I am your host, Dustin Albino, and tonight I am joined by, for the fourth consecutive week, Zach Catanzaretti, and returning guest, Joseph Wolken, who are both here to help me break down the weekend that was Bristol last week and saw Kyle Busch dominate. But first, I want to talk to you guys about DraftKings. As the NASCAR world is in the midst of its run to the playoffs, there are plenty of opportunities to jump in on the action with DraftKings. On DraftKings, the objective is simple. Pick six drivers, watch how they perform on next Sunday, and if you pick correctly, you can be eligible for massive cash prizes. All you have to do is jump in on the action, is sign up through the Front Stretch podcast article page, make a $5 deposit, and you'll be eligible for a free entry into one of next weekend's contests at Darlington. Once again, DraftKings, where you choose, you play, and you win. Now guys, we're coming off a big weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway last weekend where Kyle Busch dominated, to say the least. Zach, I want to start with you. What was your take on Kyle Busch? He won the truck race, then the Xfinity race, and the cup race, and really in all in dominating fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially the first two, I kind of expected him to win the truck and Xfinity race. He came from the back in both of them, so that was kind of impressive, but I mean, it's Kyle, so you kind of expect that, but for him to do it in the cup race, as we've seen this year, him winning has been a little difficult. It's only his second win this year. Then we saw Alec Jones up front. We're going to be talking about him later, but he was tremendous. And Kyle was able to just sneak right on by those two of Kenseth and Jones and get the win. So just tremendous for him. And I think we learned a lot about Kyle this weekend and his post-race celebration and everything that went on with that. So, yeah, I mean, hell of a weekend for Kyle.
And Joe?
Yeah, and this was such a massive one for him, too. I mean, he's almost at the point where he's led nearly 1,400 laps this year. Last year, he didn't even get to that point. So, with 12 races left, after this Bristol weekend like Kyle Busch had, you're looking at a massive stretch where he can really show his dominance and Toyota's dominance moving forward.
Yeah, and Zach, like you mentioned, he was spectacular to watch because he had those two penalties, one in the truck race and then one in Xfinity. I don't believe he had one in Cup, but he did come from mid-pack to start the race. So it was just a spectacle to see and watch him work his way through the traffic, really. And now that he's won two of the last four races, and, you know, Truex has won a bunch of races this year, Denny Hamlin won a race. Guys, Ford started off the year dominating. They won a whole bunch of races at the beginning of the season. But now that Toyota's kind of taken over the sport again, is it their championship to lose?
Yeah, for sure. At this point, it is. I mean, as you said, it's so funny how it changes pretty much every year, especially Joe Gibbs. It goes from them struggling and then just out of nowhere, they just click, you know? And so that's why I never get on the bandwagon of, oh, where are they? And oh, man, are they the ones to be? Because I know how quickly it can change. So I know with Kyle, he's in an interesting place right now, mindset-wise. As I said about his post-race celebration, just him and his fans and his haters, just how he's being fueled off of it, and it was pretty fascinating to see him throwing the stick to the fans there on the front stretch. He jumped on his car a few times, and I know for Kyle, he's definitely in the right place, and we talked about Truex. He's just been up front all year long, and Alec Jones is turning around. Whether or not he makes the playoffs, I feel like he's going to be up front for most, if not the remainder of the year. So, yeah, Toyota's definitely the guys who are up front at this point in the season.
Yeah, and let's not forget Matt Kenseth either. Matt Kenseth's running really well over the last few weeks, and I think he's starting to get a hot streak. It looks like he's going to make the playoffs, but I think that he's going to be right on the edge of it. I'm really curious to see if he can make it or not, because if he doesn't, that's going to really hurt him in the free agency pool. But if he can make it and that number 20 car runs as well as he has been the last few weeks, he's going to be a title contender because he's only getting better as the season rolls on.
Yeah, guys, I agree with both of you, but specifically with Kyle, he's been fast all year long. He's led the most laps in 7 or 8 races. He's got those two victories in the last 4 races, like I mentioned. Right now, would you view him as the favorite, or maybe Martin Truex Jr., or even someone else?
I think Kyle Larson. I really don't think you could go against Kyle Larson right now. He's running so well, even on tracks where, historically speaking, he just hasn't done so. Obviously, he has a little bit of inconsistency in him still. But if you look at his season so far, 10 top fives, 14 top tens, a couple of poles, he's leading laps, he's finishing in the top 10 consistently. Even with the bunch of second place finishes. Imagine if those second place finishes were wins. How would that change this whole thing? And it's really interesting to see what this 42 team can do. They're signing new sponsors. Chip Ganassi Racing is stronger than ever. I'm really curious to see if Kyle Larson can be the banner kid that Chip Ganassi wants him to be.
Yeah, I definitely see Larson making the top four. He's not my number one pick. I got to stick with Truex. That's pretty much been all year. I've kind of been trying to stay with him. And he's made it easy on me for sure, especially with the mile and a halfs coming up that we have here. He won the Southern 500 last year. So just he's got the momentum. You know, he's pretty much had it all year. Occasional mistakes here and there from the driver of the team. But I feel like they, you know, when it gets to playoff time, their mindset's going to be correct and they're gonna go after it.
Yeah, guys, so obviously we're going into the last off weekend of the year, so you guys kind of mentioned who your favorites were, and Zach, you hit on Truex and Kyle, but right now, who would be your final four?
Oh, geez, my final four. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to choose with Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, Larson, and that fourth spot's always a toss-up. Oh, yeah. I hate not picking Jimmy. as we said every year, like, he's always so slow in the summer, then just out of nowhere, he just blows up when the playoffs start. So I guess I'm going to pick with Jimmy. Yeah, don't hold me on it, but yeah, Jimmy's the fourth guy.
We got the same ones.
Okay. All right, for argument's sake, I guess I'll be different because I'm a different person.
Yeah.
I'm going with Truex, Larson, Jimmy Johnson, let's see, Kevin Harvick we'll go with. And to mix things up, instead of Kyle Busch, we're going to go with his teammate, Denny Hamlin. How do you like that one for y'all?
There you go, Joe. And let's stick with the Toyota banner now. Zach, you mentioned Erik Jones earlier in the podcast. He led a career-high 260 laps. Probably drove the best race of his career, honestly, in any series. Now, were you guys surprised with how well he did run? He did start from the pole, but that he was able to maintain that track position throughout the entire race. He led 9 separate times.
Yeah, that was incredible. I mean, I expected him to be strong going in, but I didn't expect the pole run and him to lead over half the race. I mean, that was absolutely tremendous. And, you know, we heard from Kyle after the race, you know, he was proud of it. He was proud of Eric. He was proud that he raced clean. But again, that's why Eric lost. That's why he lost. He wasn't racing aggressive enough. He just let Kyle go by and now we just have 2 more chances left to make the playoffs, and I feel like maybe if you put a little bit more experience in there, you would have raced him a little harder. Maybe it's a little tougher to race Kyle harder since, you know, that's where he got his start, but, you know, for him, he blew it, you know? He had a great car, and it just didn't come together, so he's on a tremendous roll. These last 2 races have been incredible, and Richmond has been awesome to him on the Xfinity side, so we're going to see what he can do these last 2 races, but going back to Bristol, that was an amazing night for that kid.
Well, not only did Kyle give Eric his start, he's also the reason why Eric's in the Toyota banner now, and he's in this Toyota camp. And if he got a little rough with Kyle Busch and he decided to put the bumper to him, what does Joe Gibbs think of that? I mean, it's bad enough that Matt Kenseth already thought ill thoughts, we'll call it, of Eric Jones this past weekend, going as far as saying, first he takes my ride, then he hits me. That's a pretty strong comment from a guy like Matt Kenseth. But overall, that could have really hurt him going into Joe Gibbs Racing more than anything. And you have to think, he has to think about himself and his teammates now going into the future. He wasn't only thinking about Fernturo Racing there and what it would mean to that team to have 2 cars next year, which is a big concern still for Barney Visser and the rest of Fernturo. Will they have 2 cars? And with the way Erik Jones is running the last month, look, 8th at Pocono, 10th at Watkins Glen, 3rd in Michigan, 2nd in Bristol. He's only getting better. I do think that number 77 car is going to have a win by the end of the year. I'm not sure where it's going to come, but I really do think that Erik Jones is going to do something really big for that number 77 team.
But Joe, for him, it's win or bust. Does it even matter who he's racing? Because he's 126 points out of the playoffs. And when he's weaving and dodging lap traffic late in the race with Kyle, his mentor, as we mentioned, that's his playoff ticket. Like, he's in or he's out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be tough.
It's a really tough call. And you have to, obviously, he's not going to hold back. But at the same time, he doesn't need to be pushing the issue. And he, at his age, he understands that respect comes with time. If he races Kyle Busch cleanly, like he has been all these years, he will get more respect out of it than he would if he bumped him to win. That's what I think Eric Jones was thinking when he was going through all this, laying the race at Bristol.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Kyle Larson and Matt Kenseth deal last year at Dover when Larson wanted to race Kenseth clean, I think.
Yeah, and you have to an extent because it's just the right thing to do more than anything. But at the same time, that's why people criticize NASCAR now. These guys aren't aggressive enough, and that's because they're all friends. Forget being friends for a minute. You need to look out for yourself and what's best for your team. Imagine what Barney Visser would be doing right now if that team won at Bristol. That would be massive for them. That there goes half your questions about having a second car next year, which is a really big question right now for that team.
Yeah, usually clean races don't get to win too much. I mean, Mark Martin never won a championship, and it took losses forever to get that first win. But when it comes to Joe Gibbs' thoughts on if he did move him out of the way, I think Joe would rather Eric Jones be in the playoffs than Jamie McMurray or someone like that. So I feel like, you know, you got to look out for yourself, as Dustin said. It's a really tough spot. Obviously, none of us have ever been in a pressure-packed situation like this. But, yeah, I feel like if you're a clean racer, you're missing out a lot. And Kyle Busch getting a clean racer, and he got three wins this week.
Yeah, but guys, so we're getting close. We got those two races left before the playoffs start at Chicago. Clinton, I mean, the top 16 spots look like locks almost. Clint Bowyer's 17th on the playoff grid, but he's 58 points out. It's all damn near an entire race. So, Zach, are the 16 drivers that are in there now going to be in there after Richmond, or do you see someone winning in the last two races?
Yeah, it's such a shame that Eric didn't get that win. If we're looking at it this way, because if he won, it would have completely shaken everything up. It would be within, you know, just a handful of points for four or five guys. But that didn't happen, so I feel like we're set. I feel like these 16 guys are going to be the 16 guys who race for the championship. Bowyer is that one middle guy. We said he can make it on points, but, you know, some stuff has to happen. We're looking at Eric and Matt and, you know, maybe even a Suarez or a Trevor Bayne. He's turning things around a little bit. But can they win? I don't think so. So I feel like these 16 guys are what we're going to have. Even though Darlington has 11 straight different winners back to the mid-2000s, I feel like it's going to be these 16 going for it.
Yeah, I actually agree with you for once, because I usually don't. But I think that the guy... If we're going to have any new winners at Darlington this year, it's going to be a guy like Chase Elliott or Jamie McMurray or Matt Kenseth. It's not going to be one of the guys who is on the outside looking in. Clint Bowyer has never been outstanding at Darlington. Eric Jones doesn't have as much experience, and he's so flippy-floppy. You don't know what he's going to do. Daniel Suarez the same way. Trevor Bayne's not winning at Darlington, even though he's running very well lately for that number 16. But I don't think he's running well enough to win Darlington.
Guys, you're missing one huge name here. One huge name. Joey Logano. I know he's had an awful stretch here since the encumbered win at Richmond. But I kind of mentioned this and predicted this on the Jeff Gluck pod I was on after the Watkins Glen race. I think he's going to bookend it. He's going to start that run downhill after the first Richmond race. And then he's going to go uphill after the Richmond race, win, get in the playoffs. And once he's in the playoffs, he can win any week.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely think that when it comes to Richmond especially, it's such a good track for Joey Logano. He's always running super well there. He's always running up front. He knows how to tame that track. And it's part of the short track mentality that he had growing up running late miles. If you look at Logano's season, it's been terrible. Let's not lie. It's been an awful season for Joey Logano. He didn't expect to have that encumbered finish in Richmond. And after that, it's just gone beyond downhill. But I agree with you. I think that after Richmond, he has a shot. If he makes the playoffs and gets that win at Richmond or Darlington, he has a shot at winning this championship if he can get that far. If not, it's going to be a big disappointment for a guy who just signed a contract.
Yeah, to me, it's crazy with how how bad they've been since Richmond. In the first nine races, which Richmond was the ninth race, they had eight top 10 finishes. Since then, they've had three, and there's been 15 races. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, you say how we don't talk about him, but I'm not surprised. He's a non-factor. He just hasn't been there this year. It's something that ever since he's been with Penske, we haven't seen any of that. I mean, I think even in his Gibbs days, he was better than when he's been like this summer. So, yeah, I mean, we talk about how great he is at Richmond, but he's awesome at Watkins Glen and Michigan, Bristol, these places. He's won here multiple times, and he just never got it done there. So I don't know how Richmond can be any different. Yeah, it's just hard with him. I don't see him making it. And that's crazy. Like, he was one of the guys who I saw getting into possibly the round of eight, and now he's not even going to make the playoffs altogether. Pretty incredible.
Before the year, he was
sad.
Before the year, he was my championship favorite. I mean, I thought he was going to win it this year. So it's just unbelievable to think that he's. I mean, unless he wins, he's not going to be in the playoffs. But going forward, what kind of racing do you guys expect we'll see over the last couple races before the playoffs? Is it going to be a lot of give and take, or? I mean, because lately we've seen a lot of guys that need a win up front. Even you can include Kenseth, and honestly, McMurray's had one of his best years ever. And I think he's very under the radar.
I think he is. I think McMurray's been fantastic this year. I mean, you look at him. He's actually up there top 10 in points right now. He's sitting ninth if it weren't for the playoff grid. He already has 12 top 10s this year. His career high is 13.
It's crazy to me.
Besides 2004 when he had 23. Other than that, he's done nothing. So this is unbelievable.
It's crazy to think that Clint Bowyer is 10th in the overall standings. Any other year, he would make the playoffs. But this year, he's not going to, unless he wins. More than likely.
And that would be a big disappointment. He doesn't have much sponsorship.
Yeah.
And Stewart Haas Racing overall doesn't have much sponsorship. And I spoke with someone at Ford, and he had something interesting to say. He said, look, we are really behind our drivers. But the problem is, we need sponsorship for all of them, and we just don't have it. You look, Clint Bowyer's car is unsponsored. You have Danica Patrick with sponsorship issues, quote-unquote, even though she's been fully sponsored all year. Mm-hmm. Then you have Kurt Busch, who's still, looks like he's sticking around with SHR, but he still has sponsorship woes. But what would it mean for Clint Bowyer and his career if he doesn't make the playoffs? Especially with so many runner-up finishes this year, you have to think he's going to be kicking himself if he doesn't make it into the playoffs.
Yeah, it would definitely be a huge hit to SHR. I feel like Kurt won't be making it too far into the playoffs. Kevin, you know, he for sure, he's the potential in that bottle. You know, he can make it all the way if he plays his cards right, which he usually does when it comes to those win-or-bust situations. So for Clint, I feel like, yeah, he has to make it. This coming in, this was such a big career year for him. Him back in a big team, you know, in Tony's car. And he started off pretty well, had a couple second places. The summer, though, just wasn't too good for him. Indianapolis was a huge hit. So, you know, whether or not he's able to bounce back from this, it's all going to come down to these two races. And, you know, it's just a tough situation, one that I didn't really expect him to be in coming in.
Yeah, Clint's had a lot of close calls. You mentioned the Indianapolis crash. I'm thinking of Michigan when there was a late debris caution at the first Michigan race. He was running the top 10. Yeah, I mean, he was running the top 10 all day in Michigan and then ended up getting a crash finishing like in the 30s or something. It's just unbelievable how this playoff format is just, I don't know. This is crazy this year, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But in general, like I mentioned earlier, Ford started off the year so fast, so good. You had Kurt win the 500. You had Brad win a couple races. But as in a overall, they really haven't been much of a factor lately. I mean, if you really think about it, like Brad, sure, maybe he had a fluke flat tire the other night, but he was just off all weekend, really. I mean, what's going on with Ford?
Yeah, they're struggling overall. I mean, you look at SHR, they obviously don't have the speed that they've been wanting to. Brad's been struggling. Joey's been struggling. I mean, you look at Brad. He has three straight finishes of 15th or worse. Something is going on in that Penske camp that's not good. But the real concern right now is the fact that is Ford struggling because of the overtaking of having SHR in the camp? That's a really big question. Is this entire manufacturer struggling because they added a four-car team? And I don't think that's the reason, but I think... But it could be something that Ford needs to look into and what they need to do to fix it. Ryan Blaney's running, obviously, very well still. He hasn't really cooled off. But if you look at Ryan Blaney's stats, he's been consistently in the top 15, but not consistently in the top 10. So, and that's what you're seeing now of the Penske cars. They're the top 15, not the top 10. So they need to do something. Obviously, Chevy and Toyota, with Toyota being the main one, has really caught on to this aero package, and that's been the main thing. Everyone else is falling behind while Toyota's taking over.
Yeah, for Ford, really, the biggest deals in the beginning of the year was the two Penske guys, and they both got three wins combined, and then Harvick took him a while to win, but, you know, he had a couple dominating races. And now, you know, when it comes to dominating, Kevin just hasn't been there this year as opposed to the last 3 or 4 years. And the Penske guys, you know, we just talked about how they've been just off the map. I mean, Brad just seemed like a lap car at Bristol. There were times where they were going by him, and I'm like, wow, does he have another issue? I mean, but he was just, I think he fell like 4 or 5 down. So it's really incredible how it changes so quickly like that. And, yeah, for Ford to have come some consistency in the playoffs is going to be the biggest thing I'm going to be looking at. But, yeah, I just don't think they're going to be able to get too many wins. I think Toyota, at the moment, along with Watson, they're going to be away with it.
Now, guys,
well, speaking of consistency, I'm sorry to interrupt. Speaking of consistency, if you look at the Cup Series overall, no one's been too consistent. If you think about it, the driver at the most top 10s, Truex, is 16. That means he hasn't finished in the top 10 in 8 races. He leads the category in average finish of 11.2. No one has an average finish better than 11.2. That is not good, and that's what this playoff format has done, and it's hurting some of the teams right now who, especially at the beginning of the season, were messing around strategy a little bit, and they were trying to figure things out, and some of that strategy really hurt them, like you guys talked about with Bowyer and McMurray. That's really what it comes down to, is that failure of strategy, because this playoff format simply, at least on paper, it rewards winning rather than consistency, which is clearly not the case with Matt Kenseth, with Chase Elliott, and Jamie McMurray. They're going to be rewarded for having an average finish in the top 15, unlike their counterparts.
Yeah, I mean, we could go on a whole podcast about how disappointing Jimmy Johnson's season's been outside of his 3 victories. He's got only 3, those 3 wins are his 3 top 5 finishes this year. So we're not going to get into that right now. But what we are going to get into is there is some racing this week, although the Cup Series and the Truck Series are off. The Xfinity series is going to their last road course of the month. They've had 3 this month. Last year, Michael McDowell won his first career race there. Brendan Gaughan picked up his first career win 3 years ago. And it seems like a lot of drivers like Road America more than the other road courses on the schedule. So, guys, I'm going to put you on the spot. Which road course is your favorite throughout the entire NASCAR circuit?
Well, mine is Watkins Glen. Same. That's the only one that I've been to. But, man, it is so beautiful up there. Just the entire scenic areas that you get to see. And there's so many awesome corners and all the history that's there. So, definitely Watkins Glen for me.
I've always liked Mid-Ohio, but you know which one I really miss? The road course in Mexico that NASCAR used to race at. I thought that place put on a fantastic race thing, and it was just something different, really, more than anything. But for me, it's a Watkins Glen.
Yeah, same.
It's just undoubtable. It's always great racing, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, it's home for me. It's only about an hour away, but the history of that track's incredible. Like, it started off in the 1940s downtown. Zach and I visited the original finish line a couple weeks ago. So much history in that town and at that track. And honestly, if you want to compare it, I heard Parker Kligerman compare it a couple weeks ago on his podcast. He compared it to the ranks of Daytona and Indianapolis in terms of overall prestige in the racing community. So I think Watkins Glen for me is far and out the best.
Yeah, definitely in the country. Any place that you can bring Formula One over and sports cars and Indy car and stock cars and have all that, you know, all in your history. I mean, that's absolutely tremendous. It reminds me a lot of Circuit Gilles Villeneuve in Canada. Unfortunately, we lost that too. That's one I miss. But for us, Watkins Glen, that's our premier road course in the United States.
Now, guys, like I said, Xfinity is going to Road America. So what do you guys expect from the weekend?
Well, I'm curious to see how Parker Kligerman is going to do. You just mentioned him with his podcast on NBC. For the most part, he's just been running the truck series. He's making his return to Xfinity series for the first time in a while. And he's not running in bad equipment either. He's running for the Godovic team, which usually runs in the top 20 when they do get to the track. I have high expectations for Parker. He has a background in road course racing. He's won a few road courses in ARCA, so I'm curious to see how Parker Kligerman does. This could be a big weekend for him.
Yeah, I'm watching a couple things. The first one's the radar. The rain forecast has been plummeting. Well, actually going up, depends on how you look at it. It's up to a 90% chance, I guess, for Sunday. So when we look at the radar and we see rain, I see a picture of Justin Marks. So he's the guy who I'll be looking at. He kicked tail last year in the rain at Mid-Ohio, so I feel like he'll be great. And I spoke to James Davison this week. We'll have a piece on him tomorrow. And when I asked him, James himself is going to be a contender. He got a top five last time out in the 20. But when I asked him, who do you think will be a contender, he picked out Austin Cindric. He'll be running his first race in the 22. Ooh. He was the only guy who we mentioned. You know, he's looking at him, and he has high expectations. Obviously, Sam won in the car last time out. So, I mean, those are three or four guys, and they get all the series regulars in there. And, you know, so many drivers who can win this thing.
Yeah, Austin Cindric is my pick to win, honestly. I mean, it's his first start, but he's incredible on the road courses, no matter where they go. Last year in K&N, there was two starts at Virginia International Raceway and then Watkins Glen. Watkins Glen, he led all 41 laps. And at Virginia, he led all but 26 laps. So, and then he's just got a history, and he's only 18 years old, but he's got a history of running well and winning at these road courses. So, I mean, I expect pretty good things from Austin Cindric this weekend.
Which is interesting because he struggled in truck series everywhere else for the most part. Obviously, he had a solid run in Michigan. But other than that, Cindric really hasn't performed the way Brad Keselowski Racing wants him to. So this is a massive weekend for him. He needs to perform in order to secure his future BKR shutting down. Obviously, you know, his dad is Tim Cindric, so he's going to be fine no matter what. But it's a big weekend for Austin Cindric. He has a lot to prove, not only to himself, but to Discount Tire and to the rest of Team Penske, especially now that the Cup drivers won't be able to race that much next year. Blaney will take over for the most part for the Xfinity team. But this could be a big opportunity for Austin Cindric. He's basically competing for a ride with Chase Briscoe.
Yeah,
and I feel pretty good about him. Like, I believe he has six straight top tens in the truck series, and, you know, he's been lead. I believe he's led, you know, a couple of the last few races. I feel like he's turning around a little bit. When it comes to him and Chase, he's definitely behind. But Chase, I mean, he's doing great this year. So, you know, with Austin, he almost got that top five. I believe it was at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. He was running third on last lap before he got spun. So, just every way you look at road courses, you know, he's able to bring it. So, this is a huge, huge weekend for him to move up the ladder and stay relevant in this series.
Yeah.
One guy I want to point out who had a really, really good run last time the Xfinity Series went to road course was Daniel Hemric. Was leading laps. Daniel Hemric was running up front. Daniel Hemric held off Sam Hornish Jr. for a while. That was an impressive run for Daniel Hemric.
There you go, Joe. You're kind of promoting Daniel Hemric on the podcast here.
Well, so, it's just interesting because he's a short tracker. He never went to a road course before he came to NASCAR. So it was a very impressive run for him. I'm curious to see if he could take that momentum and take the experience he learned and use it this weekend at Road America.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me too much because if you look at a lot of the road course guys in NASCAR, like in the past, Juan Pablo Montoya, Marcos Ambrose, A.J. Allmendinger now, they all ran well, like, say, Martinsville. That's probably their best oval track. Allmendinger has a pair of second-place finishes there. It's a short track. So I'm not too surprised by that. But, guys, going into the weekend, I'm going to ask you about your picks, but I'm going to start first. I mentioned I'm picking Austin Cindric, and he's taken over that 22 car, which Sam Hornish Jr. dominated at Mid-Ohio. He led 61 of 75 laps, and Brad Keselowski led some laps at Watkins Glen in the same car, finished third. So I just think Cindric is going to get it done this week, and, hey, maybe he'll find himself a ride for next year.
Yeah, one guy who I'll be looking at, Joe just talked about him about 8 or 9 times, Daniel Hemric. Yeah, he was so good at Mid-Ohio. He was the next best thing behind Hornish, and I feel like he ran a really, really strong race. So I'm picking Hemric. RCR's won the last three Road America races there, so I feel like him and the entire team are going to be strong this weekend.
Well, Zach, you mentioned that there's a little green coming on the radar, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
A guy named Justin Marks who's entered this race. Mm-hmm. If I recall correctly, a certain guy by the name of Justin Marks, we'll call him, ran rather well the last time.
Long podcast
the
now.
Xfinity Series had a rain race. So I'm going to go with the one, the only,
Daniel
Justin
Hempen.
Marks. No. It's just double his number, that's all.
Oh, my God. What's going on in this podcast? All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. And the Cup Series, like I said, are in their last off week. But next weekend, we'll be here again to preview the Darlington race, the Southern 500, one of NASCAR's marquee events. And we hope to see you then.